Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
I'm Matthew Elliott.
And we are joined by the vegan. Hi, Dave.
Evening, evening.
So, have we all recovered?
Just about,
I think. Yeah.
Yeah. For those that didn't see, we were on the bus to Bristol at the weekend and beers were drank, fun was had.
Yeah, from about 10 o'clock in the morning onwards, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Yeah, had a great time. I was it's probably one of my favourite away days, rivaling the QPR one we had a few years ago when Lee Camp saved a penalty in the last minute. It was up there with that one, and that was a special away day. But this was on par with that, I think.
Without going off track too much, was that the away day you needed to get a taxi over 100 miles home?
No, that wasn't that. It was much later than that, yeah. Much later than that. But, yeah, that maybe wasn't a great away day, that one. But, yeah, no, Bristol City, awesome. From start to finish, actually. Bus journey there, the game, just like the general atmosphere. The Bristol City fans really accommodating as well. Really gracious in defeat afterwards.
I had a good few chats with people after as well, and they were really willing to talk and like you say, open and honest about it.
Yeah, it was a awesome day. Obviously, we shared a special moment there as well, Chris.
I mean, we've spoke about Blues for what, 4 years or something. The podcast was gone for two. I don't know how long we'd done it before. But we've talked about Blues so much over the years and never actually watched a game together.
Together, no.
And then we weren't even sat together at Bristol City. And then, what was it, about 41 minutes or something, we just randomly bumped into each other. And then a minute later, Miyoshi's attempt. Yeah,
and we were about to go and get a pint, and it's like, well, just watch the rest of the half and then go and get a drink, because... Yeah, and I'm glad we did. That was one hell of a moment.
Like you say,
was.
Special moment.
It's really special that you were both holding hands at that moment.
And the rest.
Oh, yeah.
We were holding more than that by the end of it. It was awesome. Obviously, I've seen so many games with Dave. We had season tickets together for a number of years as well. So, but obviously, as you say, we've been talking for about 5 years now and not actually... sat together at a game. It was a special moment.
Well, technically, we still haven't sat together at a game.
No, okay, we didn't sit together. No, we didn't sit at all, did we?
Stood next to each other, went fucking mental with each other, and then went and got a beer.
Yes, and saw Jack from, who, is he still doing Fat Lads? He doesn't do it as much these days.
Yeah, occasionally.
It was nice to meet him as well. But what about the game? The game itself, then?
So from my point of view, from what I can remember, we weren't under a lot of pressure. I mean, they had the one big chance that Nike Wells put wide. But generally, we were comfortable. And again, to reuse last week's podcast name, we were solid.
Yeah.
Was that one moment. I mean, maybe we should have created a bit more. Won by a bigger margin, maybe 4-0, you know. So that maybe
not
comes
yet, Chris.
Not yet. No.
It's coming.
It's coming. Yeah, someone's going to get it. But no, like,
then someone will be coming. Carry on.
I thought the I just thought the whole performance was solid again. And we passed well. We controlled the ball well. The double pivot, which has been mentioned by Bristol City fans as well, have said that Sunjic and Bielik just ran the show in midfield.
Yeah. Sunjic, absolutely excellent. Again, I know we've said this a few times now, but you know, it hasn't just been a one-off. He was very, very good on Saturday. Obviously created a goal. He had a number of really, really nice forward passes, four or five, I think I counted. I was actually documenting them at the start of the game. 95% pass completion as well, which, you know, and I think he had 30-odd passes. So, it's not just, you know, on a handful. But let's give John Eustace a bit of a pat on the back and a bit of a shout out with this one, because when Laird went off, he could quite have easily have moved someone like Alfie Chang back there, or even Gary Gardner or someone like that, and, you know, try to play it safe. But he brought on Miyoshi, put Bakuna to right back, and really took the game to them. And not only that, but in the second half, when Rob Dickey had been sent off, he made more attacking changes and went two up front with Duke on with Hogan, when he could quite easily have again
tried to shut up shop
a little bit. But he just went for the throat. And, you know,
I remember at the time that it seemed like Hogan had dropped in slightly, wasn't playing anywhere near where he would have normally played on his own.
That's fair. But again, it could quite easily have just gone for a centre midfielder or something and just really tried to tighten things up. And,
or a defender if we had one.
Yeah. And as the game went on, I just thought I felt comfortable throughout that game. I never felt like we were in danger. Even that Naki Wells one, which I know he missed, but it was very, very similar to the goal that Swansea scored, or the move that's where Swansea scored against us on the first game of the season. That was the only heart and mouth moment, I think, for us. But yeah, I just thought we were really, really, really good and controlled the game, despite the fact I think we only probably had about 35-40% possession. Basically had a lot of the ball, but again, didn't do anything with it. It was a lot of rounds, a bit like Leeds did, just knocking it around the back all the time and not really causing us any trouble at all.
But there's a mentality there, I think. And we had it similar in, I think it was under Gary Monk, where we were quite happy with teams to just have the ball at the back. As long as we weren't losing, have the ball there, you're not going to hurt us. If you start coming to a certain point, you get to a certain stage on the pitch, we're going to press you. And there were highlights on social media of them trying to play out from the back, trying to come out from the keeper. And as soon as they got to that certain stage, they were just closed down. There was a player on them and it forced misplaced passes or the ball going out of play. And you can very much see that mentality in Blues.
The press, as we've mentioned it pretty much every week now, the press has been excellent, and that's everybody is from the front line trying to win that ball quite high up the pitch. And they're pressing intelligently. Again, we're seeing it from Sanjic again as well. One thing I will say was obviously a bit of a concern is obviously Laird and Dembele now gone down with injuries. It looked like they might be more than just one game, two games. It might be a number of weeks with both of them.
I was told that it might be international break. So hopefully back for Watford, would it be, after the internationals?
Yes.
I mean, they might not be ready in that point, but that's what I was told. So hopefully.
A couple of players short now, though, I think it's going to cause a few problems, certainly at right back of Ethan Laird. I mean, Bakuna did a good job on Saturday, but you don't want him playing there permanently. And obviously, I think Marcel Oakley's still out injured at the moment. Josh Williams, although he did travel on Saturday, I think he appears to still be sort of out of favour. They did play for the under-21s yesterday. So, and I think they were close to bringing a backup right back in, but that seemed to have died on its arse for whatever reason. It wasn't Matt Lowton.
No. You think it could have been Brandon Williams, potentially?
Yeah, I know predominantly he's normally played as a left back, but he's actually a right footer and he does play at right back as well. But my understanding is that Ipswich had gazumped another team for him, or she gazumped another team for him. So it might have made sense that it was him. Kieran McKenna, Ipswich, obviously would have known Brandon Williams from Man United previously. But I don't know that for a fact. I'm just making... I was just putting two and two together. Still, whether that's right or wrong, we need a right back from somewhere. There's quite a lot on the free agent market. I'm sure there'd be a few available for loan as well. Not sure we want to go down that route, but it'd be interesting to see who we move for over the next, well, week or so, really, because we need someone pretty sharpish, I think.
I suppose the other big point to talk about from the game was my prediction for the best signing of the summer. Turning some screws now, isn't he?
It's your turn. He was very good when he came on, to be fair. Caused them a lot of problems. Right place, right time for a knockdown on that corner as well. Beautiful finish. Oh yeah, because he obviously only scored just before, didn't he, as well?
But yeah.
Brilliant finish, I thought, as well. Yeah, he really caused a bit of a nuisance of himself. And you know, I was concerned, as you know, just about his physicality, but it looks like he might be all right. Obviously, we haven't seen him properly, really, for 90 minutes yet, but signs are looking really positive, I think.
So on that, Matthew, I mean, you last week you were saying that you actually thought he might be given a start, you know, following the performance against Bristol. You know, we think we're going to finally get that on Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's got to. I don't see how you can leave him out. We're obviously sure with Roberts and Dembele going to be missing. I would have started against Bristol City anyway. Obviously, he came on fairly early as it was, but yeah, I think Bakuna it's formality
likely,
now.
Bakuna's likely going to be playing right back as well.
As the week goes on, he's going to, we'll talk about that later, but he's going to have a bit of a task, I think, on Saturday. But yeah, Miosh has got to start, and I think he'll continue to start for the next few games as well.
And then you mentioned the passes of Sonjic, of course, the assist that he got, the big man up top who'd come on as a sub, another goal.
Yeah, another late goal for Duke. It's great to see, isn't it?
Yeah, I thought the moment had gone as well. When it went past JJ, I thought, oh no, we've missed
that
it.
Was all just, it trickled. It just sort of trickled in front of JJ because it was a dangerous ball across. And I think it was pretty much perfect for JJ. I don't know if he just sort of couldn't get the timing of his run or his feet just right. But I mean, as it was, obviously it fell to Duke quite nicely. And some questionable defending maybe as well. Just I think the defender behind JJ probably thought JJ was going to get it and then was sort of...
Can't adjust to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was just, it caught him off guard. And yeah, again, Duke's just there to finish it off and could see what it meant to him. The differences between him and Miyoshi as well, the two goal scorers... It's a proper little and large combo, those two, with some of the pictures they had together as well.
The thing is, Duke's not even that tall.
He's not. He's 6 foot one, isn't he?
Yeah, so.
He's obviously quite broad also. So it makes that difference a little bigger. But no, it was great to see Duke score again. Obviously, I've said it before, couldn't happen to a better club man, really. So it's lovely to see and to seal us. See with that game with that winner.
Okay, gents, so we come on to this week's 15 minute.
They already take the piss with like 30 seconds. Now we're going to move on to some 15 minute opinions. Just hand it over.
Jeez, imagine how fucking boring that would be.
Let's hear some
15 second opinion.
Morning, lads. Obviously, a week to go to the transfer window closing. I think we need another three in, probably. Desperate for a striker still. A different type of striker as well. I know we're linked with Jay Stansfield, but I said it before, I keep getting slated for it, but Keenan Davis is unfortunately the man we need. See what happens in the next week, but hopefully we'll get three or four in.
Hi, guys. Absolutely gutted. Wasn't there Saturday, but fantastic 3 points. Never really in doubt, to be honest. Pretty disappointed with Bristol, thought they'd bring more to the table. Need to start picking out Scotty's runs, but new teams I might get used to them, etc. Squad strength, 100% needed, but Hall back is great news. Keep it right on, boys.
Hi, lads. It was a great win against Bristol City.
good start to the season so far. Injuries already taking their toll. Obviously, Tyler Roberts being out. Ethan Laird will be a big miss for a few weeks. Let's not underestimate Plymouth, because this will be our toughest game so far. They're a good footballing side. Not many people are expecting much from them this season, which they will be pleased with, because they're going to surprise a few teams. So, yeah, let's just get something from the game and move on to the next one. Keep right on.
Going to get this in 15 seconds. All I'm going to say is bring back the portable pint pourer people. They were the best thing VSHL ever did. The one thing they got right, they used to just pour pints out in the concourse, wherever you were. You can follow them about. They had a big barrel on their back. Absolutely loved it. Up the Blues, up the Wab. Let's go!
Thank you, as always, for your 15-second opinions. Please keep sending them in, because we love getting them. Now, portable pint pourers. They've got to be world-class portable pint pourers if we get them, haven't they, Chewy?
100%. We've always spoken about this shit. I tell you, world-class pint pourers are things. They're real people. They're real people too. We need them with big barrels on their back.
But yes. T-shirt cannon. T-shirt cannons, on the other hand.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Everyone loves a freebie.
Why don't you have a pint cannon where they just fire a pint into your face,
and it's got a sealed lid on it, and you just peel the lid off. Perfect.
Yeah, and if it knocks you out, so be it. You pay.
If you haven't caught it, it's your fault.
You take the risk. So obviously, quite a few people talking there about thin squad, injuries taking their tolls. We've mentioned it a few times. We need more bodies anyway.
I think we'd sort of mentioned that talking about the game, hadn't we? The people that we'd lost and that we do need to add to it. And we'll talk about it more as well. Now it's everybody's favourite time of the week.
Aye, aye, aye. Send him to Cornea.
And for the first time in We Are Birmingham podcast history, person who's been synced to Cornea is here to defend himself. Matthew.
I'm not having this.
Matthew Elliott, you are going to Cornea.
I'm not having this. It's
those farts that you were letting out were absolutely
singular.
Foul. No.
Singular fart.
That smelled exactly the same.
I owned up to the first one, and that was me. And I would have owned up to the rest of them, but the rest were not me.
Firstly, I don't know why you own up to the first one. Just keep
quiet. I was quite proud of that first one, to be fair.
Be proud of the others then, because they all smell exactly the same.
No. Yeah. They definitely weren't my brand. They weren't my brew.
And these actually, this wasn't just noticed by you either, was it, Chris? This actually made it onto Twitter.
Yep.
By third parties.
Was it something like the one on the left?
Great day out, but something like, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then I think it was like the one on the left farted and I've never smelled anything so bad.
Maybe somebody wanted to send me to Cornea for drinking that Aunt Bessie's apple and custard crumble IPA, which was beautiful, by the way.
It was actually quite nice.
Maybe it was that. Maybe it just gave me really bad gas I didn't even realise was escaping my body. But
they definitely weren't apple crumble farts.
Yeah, I thought they smelled fantastic. Or the first one, at least.
Yeah, let's see if this becomes a regular away game occurrence.
What I will say in the true nature of sending to Cornea, horrible. That's French, isn't it?
That is French, yeah.
Terrible. Terrible.
Aye, aye, aye. Send him to Cornea.
So after that total misjustice, so we run it's definitely misjustice, run on to transfer rumours, the handful that we've got this week, pretty minimal, but
yep.
So we've had one of the listeners obviously mentioned Jay Stansfield, which we'll get on to in a second, and the other one was Gavin Kilkenny, which I'd heard about quite early on in the morning, and then there was some media talk about it from, I think, Footy Insider as well. Seemed a bit of a strange one at first, but it appears that maybe we might be losing one of our midfielders on by a long-term injury. So I can understand why they're maybe looking at another centre midfielder there. So we'll see what happens. I think there might be a good chance of that one actually happening. Jay Sansfield is obviously quite an interesting one for a lot of people. There's some people seemed really into it. Other people seemed very underwhelmed and disappointed. I know which side I'm sitting on. I think I know which side you're sitting on. So I'm going to come to you and just see what your view is.
Okay. So at first I was like, meh. You know, it's not like I was expecting a big name or not even a big name, but something exciting. And instead it's a guy, you look at it, he scored a handful of goals at Exeter. Doesn't look like he's set the world alight. But then you look into it a little bit more. For me now, so I watched some of the highlights of how he plays. And for me, I'd say he could potentially be, he could do all of the hard off the ball work that Hogan does, the pressing, the movement. But then he's also very good at carrying the ball and seems incredibly good at bringing his attacking teammates into play. His assists, did he get 8 or 9 assists?
I think he got 9 goals. Assists and 9 goals, I think it was. So it was 16 goal contributions. Three of those goals all came in the same game, mind, but I think towards the very end of the season, but he finished the season strongly in League One. But that's watching goal contributions.
I was just going to say, watching those assists, he looked like he'd fit in with the attacking players that we've got incredibly well. Their movement's good. He looks unselfish. They haven't played him they didn't play him at Exeter as a main forward.
No, he was like a second striker. Yeah.
But he looks like he could link up with that attacking line and any mix of that attacking line, because we've got players that can come off the bench. He looks like he could get involved with them. So while it started off as a bit of I looked at it and the bigger picture is much bigger.
Yep. Completely agree. I was kind of in the same sort of boat, spent some time watching him. Mobile, first and foremost. Very intelligent. As you say, brings others into play. Key passes, I think, seem to be... he does this quite frequently. Gets himself in good positions. He is going to be the type that will close down as well. So he'll offer that press that we're seeing done very, very well by Scott Hogan at the moment. And he does get himself into really good positions. He's still young, obviously. And he did well in League One towards the end of last season. His next natural progression is always going to be into the Championship. And I think that's where Fulham wanted him to go. And you've got teams like Millwall, Sunderland, I think Ipswich are looking for him as well at the moment. We're looking at him as well at the moment. They aren't mugs either. So there's a reason why these teams are chasing him and why we've probably gone after him. I think he actually fits our system really, really well. Don't get too hung up on the goals, because I think he will score in our setup anyway, but it's what he'll be able to bring to the table in terms of creation and bringing others into play that, you know, Scott Hogan, we've said before, works really hard, does get himself into good positions, but let's say his link-up play isn't necessarily the greatest, and, you know, he does lose the ball quite frequently, doesn't hold it up well. Stansfield, I think, offers that in spades compared to Hogan. So for me, good. I think it'd be a pretty good move. I would like it to be a permanent, but I think Fulham know what they've got there and will probably want to hold on to him longer term. He's in the last year of his contract, but he does have an option, which I think Fulham will probably end up looking to trigger anyway. So,
well, I was about to say that we got told about it yesterday that it was that I think he's turned down Sunderland, or it was looking on for Sunderland, and that he might have chosen Blues over them. We haven't heard any more since. Whether it's a loan or whether it's a permanent, I think that Blues might have been interested, might have been keen to do a permanent. But I don't know whether that's we'll have to wait and see what comes of it. I imagine it probably is a loan, like you say. Fulham know that he's a prospect, and they don't want to let go of him permanently. Potentially,
they're actually quite short up front. I was speaking to one of my colleagues yesterday, who's he's from down that way. He's a Fulham season ticket holder, and I mentioned to him that we'd heard that it possibly might happen, and he doesn't want him to go. He says they're quite thin up front at the moment, so he'd like to keep hold of them unless they can bring some players in. But he also said something along the lines of, if he does leave, I hope he goes to you, because fuck Sunderland. I think he must have. I didn't actually follow up that to find out why that was. I'm sure there must be some animosity between Fulham and Sunderland somewhere on the line. I will ask Aaron when I get back to work to see what the hell he was talking about. But yeah, I was like, yeah, that just thumbs up for that one.
I think it's a no lose for Blues either way. I think if it's a permanent signing, then it's a young player with plenty of potential that can develop with Blues. If it's a loan, we're not rushing in to that permanent signing and panicking to get someone. We're loaning someone that's got potential that can fit the system. So I don't think we can lose on it either way. And I just think people need to, assuming that he joins, people need to be patient and support him, which I'm sure people will.
Yeah. No, I agree. So obviously we mentioned the mystery right back earlier. Didn't seem to happen. Still not 100% sure who it was. Kind of fell through last minute. A couple of other things to point out were a couple of trialists in the under-21s. So Luke Pearce, Southampton, former Warsaw player, as some people may remember, or they might not. And we also had, I think, Saheed Kamara from Charlton as well, who we also had last season. And they seem to be the two trialists in the under-21s who got their first win of the season yesterday against Ipswich, with Junior Dixon scoring. And Romel Donovan, I think, scored the other one, did he?
I'm not sure, mate. I was busy yesterday, so I couldn't tell you. Apologies.
I think Romel actually posted his goal on Instagram earlier, which is why I think it was him.
The only thing that I did see was that there was the picture of the lad passed out on the...
Well, one of those was Kamara, I think. There was Kamara and Donovan were both on the coach back. Tough times.
What they need to do is get a speaker and steal a cone.
Yes, just like the party bus. Yeah.
What became of that cone and yellow jacket, then, Chris?
I don't know what happened to the jacket. The cone stayed at the pub.
Neither the cone or the jackets were visible. And you think you'd be able to see the jacket from about a mile away?
Bright yellow.
When I went to collect my car on Sunday morning, but then neither were there.
Do you think the yellow jacket would have aided you on the way down when riding around on one of the delivery things from KFC?
Oh, is that me? I've only just remembered that. I completely forgot about it.
You just rolled around in a cage, weren't you? That woman came out and told you off.
Yeah.
That was brilliant.
Yeah. Boys in their shenanigans. To be fair, the cone probably makes no sense to people that weren't there. For people that weren't there, I've got a speaker
that we had on the bus
that is all right, but it's not very loud. So we acquired a cone, a street cone,
a traffic cone
to amplify the audio. But that meant that the traffic cone needed to come and party with us. So it partied all the way back to Birmingham.
It did, with Taylor Swift and Limp Bizkit.
A bit of Greatest Showman. Match day vibes.
Match day vibes indeed.
Now, for some of you, it might be the first time that you listen to the podcast, and this might be the reason why. We've got a fantastic prize to give away to one lucky person to celebrate our 10,000 followers on Twitter.
No, it's not for 10,000 followers on Twitter. It's because this is our 69th episode. That's why we're really doing it.
Anyway, so immature. What we're giving away is the We Are Birmingham Ultimate Match Day Package in association with Garrison Coffee Company. It consists of a Blues replica shirt of your choice. This season's shirts, home or away, whatever size you want, it's yours. A pair of tickets to Birmingham City versus QPR on the 22nd of September. Want a drink when you get to the ground? Two award-winning coffees from the Garrison Coffee Company. And if that is not enough for you, also from the Garrison Coffee Company, a bag of Tom Wagner's Saviour's Blend, one of my favourites, to take away with you and enjoy at home. So how would you win? Three key words. One in this episode, one in the next episode, and one in the episode after. Once we've given you all three key words, we'll give you the email address to send your answers to. And then we will announce the winner on social media, contact them via email as well, and give them a shout out on the podcast.
Very good prizes. Yeah. Can I enter?
No, sorry.
How will you deliver the winner's prize? Will you do it in the high-vis
in a minibus
jacket?
Yeah.
The minibus,
yeah,
with a high-vis.
Yeah.
In just the high-vis.
And I'll be leaning out of the door, leaning out of the door, holding a cone.
One prize delivery.
Is there anyone else who can't enter or worry on it?
Yeah, can't. You can't enter, Dave.
Any of the people you just want to exclude at this stage as well?
No, just you two. But good luck, everyone.
Yeah, good luck. Great prize.
This week's keyword, relax. If you enjoy our podcast, please don't forget to like, share and comment on social media.
And if the podcast platform allows it, please rate and review us.
Cheers, guys. It is that time of the week.
Wagner of the week.
Right, come on then, boys. Who have we got?
Who's going first?
Dave?
Right, I'll jump in first. My Wagner of the week was one of the Bristol City stewards that I'm certain saw me carrying a pint of Guinness back onto the stands after half-time, yet did nothing about it. So I could enjoy that with you two at the during the second half.
I'd forgotten about that.
I've forgotten a lot of things that happened at the weekend.
Mine is going to be the Eucharist, actually, for arranging the minibus for us after the train service let us all down last minute, getting enough people to fill it at a good, reasonable price, and giving me a very good, great and much needed weekend with my friends. So yeah, you are my Wagner of the week.
Ah, thanks, mate.
You could organise it for this Saturday as well, because there's no trains again.
Yeah, no worries. I just do now. Yeah. Well, actually, Chewy, just to repay the favour, you are not my Wagner of the week because of that fart. my Wagner of the week is actually for a guy that people might have seen on Twitter. And he's not a Blues fan, not related to Blues at all, other than the fact that the kid loves football. It's totally appropriate. We shared on the We Are Birmingham socials that Nathan West is raising money for Macmillan Cancer Support. He was trying to raise £500 because of what's gone on social media and the comments that were aimed at him. Good comments from the football world have taken over, and he's now raised at this moment in time £46,434.
Nathan Westy West, I think that is seems to be his nickname. He's getting quite a lot of media attention now for the good, which is lovely to see.
Yeah. I mean, the kid just loves football, and there's faceless nubs that just... and I think someone said there was a lot of Ipswich fans that were... He's obviously a Norwich fan. People said that there were a lot of Ipswich fans that were digging him. Yeah. It's not on. Fair play to him. He's my Wagner of the week.
Okay, gents, coming on to the next two games in pretty quick succession. We've got Plymouth and then Cardiff. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it was mentioned in the 15-minute opinions, Dave. Yeah. in the 15-second opinions that Plymouth shouldn't be overlooked. And I absolutely agree. I've had a little look at some of the stuff that they played this season. I think they were unlucky to lose to Southampton at the weekend, weren't they? Was it 2-1?
There's a late goal by Shea Adams again, I think, wasn't it, the winner?
But they look a very well organised side.
Play very nice football.
Yep, pace down the wings.
Their wingers are going to cause some problems. Barley, Mumba, down our right hand side, down their left, is going to be a bit of a concern for whichever makeshift right back we're going to go out there with, assuming it's probably going to be Bakuna. He's going to have not the best time, I don't think.
We'll be all right because we'll just play lopsided.
Well, that is supposed to be the lopsided side, isn't it? So,
yeah.
I think it's probably going to be more difficult than a lot of people realise because they are, as you say, well organised, play good attacking football with no fear. It's one of those games where we've kind of got to try and take it to them, I think. Even though we're short on players, I think we've still got enough quality going forward. So I think it's going to be goals in this one. I know we've been pretty tight at the back so far this season, but I think we'll concede on Saturday. But I also think we'll win. So I think 3-2 is a bit of a push. I'm going to go 2-1 Blues, I think, for Plymouth.
Vegan?
I agree with you guys in saying that, you know, about not underplaying how difficult this is going to be. I know when we looked at these fixtures when they came out, the early couple of games, probably Blues fans thought were going to be more of a challenge for us, and this may have actually been the sort of respite post Swansea and Leeds. But I think you're right. Not underestimating them. I think it's probably going to be a bit tighter than maybe Matthew is hoping. I think we might just nick it as a sort of 1-0.
For me, obviously I'm going to go with my 4-0. But my real prediction that doesn't count on here, I think 2-0. I think we might be all right at the back. We might be solid. And I think we'll get a couple. Then obviously Tuesday night, the first night game at St Andrews with the lights and the screen and everything on Cardiff in the League Cup.
Do you think we're going to see a drastically different squad for that, given Millwall days after it?
I don't know how many changes we can make. Certainly the back. I mean, he'll bring Etheridge in for Ruddy, won't he? Your centre back pairing, we can't change at the moment unless they bring somebody else in before then. Because I can't see him wanting to play under 21s. I don't think the under 21s are good enough for a start. You might see some changes centre midfield. Bielik may get a rest. They may bring in Gary Gardner, or Craig might give himself a game. I don't know.
I mean, there's a possibility that Jordan, he could play James, Jordan James a bit deeper.
Yeah. George Hall potentially should be available to play that game as well. He was borderline to make the squad on Saturday. Assuming he's trained this week, and I've not heard anything to say he hasn't. I know it's only Wednesday, but he could feature in that game from the start, potentially.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say, if he is on the bench on Saturday, then that's probably a good indication that he might have a game
start
on Tuesday.
Right back, I guess you'd probably want to play Williams, wouldn't you? Assuming we haven't signed anyone by that point. And then that Longello, maybe play left back. He might not make any changes. He might try and just keep it the same because we've got the internationals coming up. So, you know, they get, the majority of them will get a bit of a rest after the Millwall game anyway. But yeah, I'd still expect us to go there and win that. I don't know what sort of team Cardiff are going to put out, but I mean, their MO for this season is pretty much just be stay in the league. So they might want to rest some of their starters. Although I think they are performing better than a lot of people and their own fans have expected them to.
Do you think it could be one of those really underwhelming Carabao Cup games where neither team really wants it? 0-0 goes to penalties. No shots.
Yeah. It absolutely could be something like that, couldn't it? I hope it isn't. I hope we just go out there and absolutely blow them to bits. But yeah, that's obviously not our bread and butter this season. So, nor is it Cardiff's. So you're probably right. It probably will be a drab 0-0. We play for...
Well, guess what?
Like 2 hours, including...
Guess what?
Injury time.
4-0, Chris. 4-0 penalties. Penalties, 4-0.
No, not penalties, 4-0. No, just straight 4-0. Straight 4-0. And I'm confident on that one.
Blues to win on penalties.
What's the match score?
0-0.
0-0, were you going to say that?
I was going to say 0-0. 0-0. Nil all.
Vegan?
I'm going the same, I think. 0-0 and Blues on penalties.
Ooh.
Dave has had Dave's. I think I might get this one right because Dave keeps getting all his predictions fucking right.
Yeah, he probably does deserve to be pointed out at the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What is it? Two out of three. Is it two out of three?
This was City one right, Leeds right, and Cheltenham right. You got all the three of those right. The scores right as well, I think.
I don't think I got the Cheltenham one right. I said 3-0 and it was 2-0. I've got all the results right, but not the scores right. So wait for this to come crashing down in the next two games.
Show off.
There we go.
Right. Until next week, enjoy both games. Safe travels. Keep right on.
Keep right on.
Keep right on.